illustrations so I don't get caught. You know, we do diligence and we work hard. But I went back and I looked at the message and I want to share. So this is the message that this morning, it's killing the giants in your life. And Linda just read the scriptures. And it's the message that I preached when I first came to the church, the first Sunday when we came back in October of 2000. And then 4 weeks later when we came to the church. So this is, most of you weren't here then, but this is what I preached. And so I thought, I wonder if my sermon preparation back, how many years ago now is that, 17, 18 years ago, was any good? And because I often thought, oh man, I wouldn't want to preach. I wouldn't put that upon anyone where you'd preach a message that I preached even 5 years ago, because hopefully we're always developing within our faith. So I'm going to do that this morning. But the most important thing is the title of this message is Killing the Giants in Your Life. And over the last 17 years, I have to tell you that I've seen some major victories. I've seen a lot of you killing giants in your life over the years. And we've had times of celebration. Some have not been killing. Some have not killed the giants in their life. Some of them, the giants have become their friends, and even though it's not a good friend, they continue to hang around with that giant, and so all you do is you continue to pray. But before I do, I have something here, and I shared this then that Sunday as well, and it's I don't know if I was trying to be funny or to get to know the congregation that week, but it's the differences between men and women. And it has nothing to do with the message, but it's the illustration that I use. And it's the differences between men and women. And to be honest with you, I think this is a little out of balance in favor of women. Actually, it's probably a lot out of balance in favor of women. But anyways, here we go. Women have strengths that amaze men. They carry children, they carry hardships, they carry burdens, but they hold happiness, love, and joy. They smile when they want to scream, they sing when they want to cry, they cry when they are happy and laugh when they are nervous. Women wait by the phone for a safe at-home call from a friend after a snowy drive home. Women have special qualities about them. They volunteer for good causes. They bring food to shut-ins. They are child care workers, executives, attorneys, stay-at-home moms, and your neighbors. They wear suits, jeans, and they wear uniforms. They fight for what they believe in. They stand up for injustice. They are in the front row at PTA meetings. They walk and talk the extra mile to get their children into the right schools and for getting their family into the right health care. Women are honest, loyal, and forgiving. They are smart, knowing that knowledge is power, but they still know how to use their softer side to make a point. Women want the best for their family, their friends, and themselves. They cry when their children excel and cheer when their friends get awards. They are happy when they hear about a birth or a new marriage. A woman's touch can cure any ailment. They know that a hug and a kiss can heal a broken heart. Women come in all sizes, in all colors, all shapes. They live in homes, apartments, cabins. They drive, fly, walk, run, or email you to show how much they care about you. The heart of a woman is what makes the world spin. Women are more than just give birth. They bring joy and hope. They give compassion and ideas. They give moral support to their family and friends. And all they want back is a hug, a smile, and for you to do the same to people you come in contact with. Pretty nice, eh? Now, do you want to hear what is said about men? Yeah. Men are good at lifting heavy things and killing bugs. Sharon Johnson always says, we have good men in this church. So this wonderful episode of David and Goliath reveals more than just human bravery. It reveals even as a boy, David had a heart for God. David had a heart for God. A bold heart for God. He didn't volunteer to fight the giant because his people were being shamed, but because Goliath was defying the armies of the living God. And he was indignant about this because our God was being defiled. And he couldn't handle this. He had a heart for God, a bold heart for God. And as he faced this dreadful enemy, he testified to his faith in God. It says this, he said this, he says, you come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Every day, Goliath challenged the Israelites to send out a man to fight them, but after 40 days, no one had accepted. And the reason why they did that then is because the Palestinians would have been in chariots and the terrain they couldn't have fought, so they decided that it would be one man against another man. And every day Goliath challenged, and and I got to tell you something, every day for some of you, you are challenged by a Goliath in your life, okay? And when is it going to get to the place where it's going to be 40 days, 40 years, 40 minutes, where you say enough? Every day he did it. And David came on the scene because he was bringing supplies to his three older brothers at the battlefield. And David heard the taunts. Okay, he heard the taunts and he saw the fear on the face of the Hebrews, and he was alarmed that no one would accept the challenge. No one would step up and accept the challenge. I wonder who will be the one who accepts the challenge now that Billy Graham has gone home to glory. We need to be praying into that. Did you know that he preached to 77 million people in his life? Did you see excerpts of him this week standing before the world and preaching with such a conviction? What a hero. And David, what he did was he gave God the glory. David was in a covenant relationship with the Lord, and so were the people. But even though they were in a covenant relationship with the Lord, they were in bondage. They were in bondage to Goliath. How many of us this morning are in a covenant relationship with the Lord, but we are in bondage to some form of a Goliath in our life? Amen? And David heard this. And so David, he was a spiritual optimist, right? His default was positive. He was a spiritual optimist, and regardless of the circumstances that were before him, he could see God's activity. So in spite of any circumstances that are before us, in the world before us, in your life before us, can you still see God's activity? We've been talking about that for week after week after week after week, to see God's activity and to join him. And here we go all the way back to this script, this story here, and David saw, regardless of circumstances, God's activity. He saw the same problem, folks. OK, Okay? David saw the same problem. There's problems all around us, and he saw the same problem in this story. And when I read it again, I'm not preaching a message that I preached when I first preached in his congregation. I'm preaching as something that is so relevant this morning. He saw the same problems. We all see the same problems this morning. But he saw it from a perspective of God's presence. Amen? And we need to start seeing things from a perspective of God's presence in our life. I got an invitation. Just a small town pastor, okay? When we came here, there were some Sundays where we had 35 people. Probably the most we've ever had in a service is 150 people, and somewhere between 75 and 125 people on a Sunday is right here. But you know what? We're a great small church, okay? But the fact of the matter is I'm still a small church pastor, and we're a small church in a small city, and it's okay. Okay? It's okay. So I get an email from Ottawa inviting me because more than one person, my name came up to go to Ottawa tomorrow and on Tuesday. I'll be back Tuesday night to be in conversation with, I don't know who's going to be there. I'm actually a little bit nervous because I'm going into a setting I've never been before to discuss the spiritual barometer of this country. Okay? Okay? We could look at the circumstances of our neighborhoods. We could look at the circumstances of our country. We could look at the circumstances of our life. Okay, and we could be taken out by them. Or we could look at it through God's perspective. And guess what? Small town church pastor, when I walk into that room, I'm going to be 7 feet tall because I'm no different than anyone else. And you know what? We have God's perspective as anyone else in this country. And we have His presence in our life. And when we speak it out and we declare it from this pulpit or from that prayer room or for this worship team or anything else, we could do it with confidence because we're seeing it through His perspective. Amen? 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 Amen. That's why I was despairing. I'm saying, Lord, there's gold in these pews. I said, man, people step up. Okay, grab a hold of the holiness. Grab a hold of the gifts and walk in them. Don't be in despair. Nobody is, he's not sending anyone to guide you. All the gifts are in the Spirit are in there and they'll be released in them. So David was this spiritual optimist. He wasn't just a man after God's heart. There's practical stuff. He was a spiritual optimist. I want to hang with this guy. David, come here. There's so many negative people all the time. All I hear is negativity. I want to hang around with the spiritual optimist. So what Goliath do you face? Maybe it's fear of intimacy with God. Perhaps it's a secret sin. Imagine that, Sharon. I said that first time I was in this church. I didn't even know these people. Okay, and they're going to vote for me. And here I'm standing. I don't know if you remember that. I said, perhaps it's secret sin in your life. Okay, how would you feel about that? Guy comes in, you don't know him at all, and he comes in, he's going to preach a call, he's going to possibly be your pastor, and the first message he ever preaches, he says, maybe it's sin in your life. Maybe it's a secret sin in your life. That is a Goliath in your life. Man, what was I thinking? Like, seriously, I like, Linda, why did we, you know. Like, you interrupt me now when I preach. You probably should have that Sunday, too. Bring in the truth. Thank you. Tracy, you know what? I'm not allowed to do this, okay? But there's sometimes, you know, when you want to thank someone and you take their cheeks and you just go like that and you say thank you. My mother used to do that to me. So I'm just doing that to you. So what Goliath do you face? Maybe it's a fear of intimacy with God. Perhaps a secret sin from you experiencing spiritual renewal, financial problems, wounds from a childhood, you know. Like God's people in the Bible story, we become frightened or dismayed because of the multitude of problems that are around us. And ultimately, the battle is not ours, but it is God's. Amen. And we need to kill the giants this morning. We need to kill some giants this morning. We need to get out your slings. Get out your sling with me. Pretend, okay? Have some fun. Woohoo! Okay, you need to get a sling. Here, wait a second. You can still hear me. Can you hear me? I'm coming back. Where's those rocks? Oh, I can't find them. Go get me a couple of those rocks there, please. Oh, I better continue. Hurry up. Okay. So get your slings out. Are you ready? So in order to kill the giants in your life, you must have God's provision. Verse 40. Choose 5 smooth stones from the stream. 5 smooth stones seem like nothing, right? Little stones. It seems like nothing. But the Bible tells us that He knows what we need before we ask. Amen? He knows. And the provisions that He's going to give us are a lot more than that. Oh, these are big stones. Some of you are looking like Goliath with a stone coming at you here. Did I just hit you in the head with a rock? It's okay. It's the first time he came to the church, I threw a chocolate bar at him, and look, he's here now. Okay. I am a gentleman. I did not throw one rock at one lady. God gives us smooth stones as well. And when the soldiers of Israel saw Goliath, they thought to themselves, he is so big. We can never kill him. And when David saw Goliath, he thought to himself, he is so big, I can't miss him. Right? Amen? He is so big. So listen to me a second here. Yesterday was kind of like David and Goliath because you know what? This place was full. And according to those guys, there was probably a lot of people that were pretty hostile to what I was going to say yesterday. And you know what? Okay, obstacle or opportunity? You choose. You choose. And so, he is so big, I cannot miss him. And with the fruit of the Spirit, we must think like David and say, we cannot miss. We cannot miss. In order to kill the giants in your life, you must have God's privilege. In verse 45. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. With great faith in our Lord, we meet every challenge with courage. David was skilled with the sling, but it was his trust in the Lord that delivered his people. Amen? Amen? It's your trust in your Lord when you get on your face before God and pray for your kids. Okay? That's where the power is. That's where the strength is. That is where the victory is. And David, he was a man of faith, and God gave him spiritual stature. And with great faith, you know, great faith makes great men and women. Amen? In order to kill the giants in your life, you must have God's presence. Right? You must have God's presence. In verse 46, it says this, "The day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." The other way, the only way that God is going to deliver the giant into the hands of David would be for the presence to be with him when he was there. And so David maintained a perspective focused on the person of God rather than on this 9-foot giant before him. He trusted in the Lord, and so we know the end of the story. David was armed in the name of the Lord. Okay? Are you armed in the name of the Lord? There is not a Sunday that goes by here where we do not put the armor of God on, and when we do it, we extend it out to you too. Are you armed in the name of the Lord? So in order to kill the giants in your life, you must have God's power. Amen? The stone sank into his forehead and he fell down to the ground. It's probably the only time that someone died where I jumped up and cheered. Like, think about it. The guy died. And with the anointing, God, my friends, can hit any giant in your life with power, his power. So what Goliath do you face this morning? What Goliath do you face this morning? And David proved the power of God over and over again in his life, right? So in conclusion, David's confidence was born out of the perspective of Lord's provision, right? His provision, his privilege, his presence, and his power. And David was certain that God would deliver him in his trial. Are you certain that he will deliver you in your trial this morning? It's called achieving through believing. Do you like that? It's called achieving through believing. And the Lord kills the giants in your life with his provision, his privilege, his presence, his power. And all of us face giants of one type or another. Amen? But we overcome through a trusting relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I knew that some people didn't like some of the things I said yesterday, and you know what? I didn't care. I didn't care. Because you know what? It wasn't about them. It's about him. And there's some giants that you're allowing to in your lives that you're making it about you. And what you need to do is you need to make things about him in your life. Okay? And when you start making things about him, you will stop wallowing in self-pity and seeing everything with negative eyes, but you will start to see circumstances with the glory of God, with God getting the glory in everything. And if we focus on our giants, they will seem gigantic, but as we focus on God, we will see our situations in the proper perspective and assured that all things are possible with God. I'm not doing this message to pump you up, but all things are possible in God. Amen? I do not want to spend my remaining years doing ministry for you. Okay? And I won't. I want to do ministry with you. Okay? That day is gone where you come to a place and ministry is done for you. It's always been done here, because ask me where something is in the kitchen, I'll tell you how quick I know where it is. Emily, you know that to be true, right? Pastor Ken, where's... They just look, okay, I know. I don't need to know everything around here. And I'm not going to do everything around here. But together, folks, oh my goodness, when we do it together. So if we focus on the giants, they will seem gigantic. But when we focus on God, we will see situations in their proper perspective. And we will know, and I'm repeating myself, that all things are possible with God, do you think? Isn't it awesome? It's awesome to rejoice in God. It's awesome to have a sense of His presence, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? It is awesome. It is a privilege. It is an honor. We are blessed. And if you have an awareness, you know what? You leave today. Well, I didn't like the way he did that. I don't like the way he threw stones at. You missed the whole point. You missed the point. Don't miss the point. Don't miss the point. Philippians 4 and 8 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things and give glory to our Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Would you stand up with me, please, this morning? God is good. Yes. Close your eyes, all of you, please, this morning. No, open your eyes 1 second. Look at me. This is what I'm going to do. Wait, not collectively. This is what I want you to do. If there's a giant in your life, okay, I'm going to have everyone close their eyes, and I'm just going to walk around. I'm not going to say anything else. There'll be a couple of seconds of quiet, and I want you to process that. And I don't want you to put up your hand. I want you to put your hands like this together, like this now. Okay? And if there's a giant at some point when your eyes are closed, I want you to go like this. And I want you to give it away. Okay? And I'm going to, and the only one who's going to see is me, and I'm going to be praying through the whole thing. So instead of you all coming up and praying over each of you for 15 minutes, just give it away. And let's walk into victory. Okay? So everyone close your eyes. Close your eyes. Don't do it until I come over to this section. So this section over here, are there giants that need to be given away? There's no one looking. Show me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you very much. Lots of hands over here. Everyone, with your eyes closed, this section over here near the wall, let's all agree in prayer, because they're all brothers and sisters. Yes. We all help each other. We don't hurt each other. Yes. Okay, so everyone begin to pray. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for this section over here. And we pray, Father, that the giants, Lord, that are slayed today, given away. Father, we thank you in this middle section over here. Okay? Giants, put your hands together. Anyone need to give anything away? Show me your hands as you're doing it. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else over here? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God is good. God is good. Father, for this middle section here, I thank you, Lord, for each one who, Father, has given away, who has given away these Goliaths. And, Father, that we would slay the giant this morning, and that, Father, we would give you, declare victory. This section over here near the window here, I'm going to have to stand up here because there's lots of you in this section, so I can see your hands. Okay, so let's begin. If there's stuff that needs to be given away, let's do it. Let's do it together. Okay, don't be proud. Give it away. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. 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 Vivek, Vivek, come on up here just for a second, please. Viva, you hear from God. You've been a friend for a long time. I want to thank you for putting this on my heart to preach this message. And would you close us in prayer this morning?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Pastors Linda and Ken to this church, Father. We have received much from you, Father, in the name of the Lord. I ask you now today, Lord, that you would just pour out your own special blessing on the both of them and on their marriage, future, and their service in this church, Lord. And I thank you for the message again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, folks. Okay, we're going to sing my favorite song now.